I know I've said it once or twice before, but I cannot thank you enough for giving God and myself the privilege, filling your heart with the glories of the heaven, so you can fill your part of the earth with the glories of the heaven. It is without a question that Christ did come, and that Christmas is a great time of the year, and it is a time in which there should be great joy among the angels and among the born again of God. And it is a thrill this year that God and I were talking a few weeks ago, and he began to talk to me about what to do for the month of December. And I'm sorry, but I will not be here next Sunday, and so we will have to skip one Sunday of this lesson. But, pardon me, I trust that the meaningfulness of this year will be greater than any Christmas season we have ever experienced. We have had some good ones, but if you understand growing in grace and in knowledge, you understand you learn to appreciate things as a more mature person than you did when you were a child. My dad used to tell me, "Son, I'm spanking you because I love you." And you know, my feeling was, "Dad, I wish I could love you back." That was my thinking at that time. Your maturity moves you into an appreciation for things that you could not appreciate earlier, such as trials and struggles. And all of those were intended that you would continually reach upward. And in the process of reaching upward, you would find more particular perfect knowledge and perfect joy and perfect liberty. And so those processes are in place, and that's why the Bible says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which has come to try you, for when you come forth, you will come forth as gold." Well, that don't sound like it. It sounds like Dad saying, "I'm going to spank you because I love you." Because a trial is not appreciated until it proves us stronger than the trial. And once you have risen above a trial, you feel a little, yeah. Somebody has overcome. Yes. It was a big trial, but I'm greater, and I am a cowboy, and the saints are in the dirt. Oh, yeah, I keep up on some things. All right, let's move forward. I'd like to touch the hem of his garment. How about you? I'd like to experience more virtue. I have never been disappointed in my experiences at the altar when I touch the hem of his garment. And so today, I would really like to somehow touch the hem of his garment. Now, I've mentioned this a little bit to you earlier, and so those of you that have had a chance to think about it, I'm not sure what's going on here. Maybe you have to focus over here. But at least you can make out that this house is different than these two. Can you make that out? This means yes. What is wrong with that picture? Either two houses are out of place or the other one's out of place. There is not a consistency in the neighborhood. Do you sense that? And so in this process, we began to determine thoughts and how our minds and hearts should function. If you are any or of the above, there is an expectancy. Now, the Bible says, "I am my brother's keeper." It does matter how I live in front of my neighbor's kids. It matters. If I want the world to be a better place, if I want my neighborhood to be a better place, it matters how I behave myself just going from the house to the car. One day in frustration and hurt, a situation happened between my dad and his brother. And I had no clue that either of them saw me. But the pain was just so great. And we had a bunch of horse apples in our front yard, and several limbs had fallen, and kicked every one of them. The pain was so great. And I kicked limbs, and I kicked, and I cried all the way to school, 14 blocks. I had no idea my uncle was about to leave, and it was a bad scene. And they affected me, but I didn't realize it till I got home that I had affected them. And both of them knelt in front of me when I got home late that afternoon from school. Said, I want to ask your forgiveness, son. Son, my Uncle Clyde called me son also, and they knelt down in front of me and said, please forgive us for misbehaving in your presence. I can't tell you what a freedom came over me that day. You could perhaps feel a little of it in my voice today. It has lingered with me. It has been a special, special message that was fairly quiet. It wasn't long, but it was deep. It took hurts. It took disappointment. It put them where they belong, under our feet. I encourage you that how we behave in our neighborhood is meaningful. We are living epistles, letters known and read of all men, and children are especially sensitive. If you've got to fight it out as parents, get away where they can't hear you. Find some cloistered area, either a car ride, whatever. But if you note that they hear you and their attitude begins to change, do for them what my dad did for me. And what I have done for my girls, not enough, but I've tried to. God's love was such. He did not want to live in glory and not give you the same opportunity. The Christmas season represents His love for you. He's not willing for you to live on either side of Him and have a lack of faith in where we are and what we're going through. He's not willing to have a nice Rolls Royce. He's not willing to have a nice stallion to pull his chariot and us live with one of those sway backs. You ever seen those pictures in the field? Old sway back mule or horse that's barely getting by. And to be able to go flying by with a chauffeur and just look down on any of us. He's not willing that any should perish in spiritual poverty and be left lacking when it comes to the ability to face the bear and the lion of life. Those stories are not just cute stories. They are a story of His understanding of humanity, frail and fragile, facing situations that are far beyond the capability of humanity in the hands of men and the minds of men. I can assure you there will be no Tower of Babel again. There will be nobody that can build a church or a people or a thing that will reach into the glories of the heaven. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. And I want to teach us to dog his footsteps every day we get up and to follow his footprints in the sand and say, I'm coming. I'm coming to you with my needs. I'm coming to you with my broken heart. I'm coming to you with my frustrated mind. And I'm ready to receive anything that you have, because I read your book. When a son asks, would a father give him a serpent? When a son asks, would a father give him anything that would be a stone, that would just be something that would not bleed with him? Let's pray. What do you really want today from Jesus? Your heavenly Father is here to meet with you. Dare you open your heart and mind to him? He knows what you really want, and he has the answer for everything. The Christmas baby is not about giving gifts and things of that nature. Christmas story is about a God who is heavenly, holy, altogether lovely. All wisdom, all power is in the central part of your world right now. And wherever you're living, he's not willing. And so he sent forth his son into the world made of woman so that you could have a change. Going to an altar is not saying I accept Christ as Lord. Going to an altar is being transformed. It is committing your life to the one who can make everything new. Going to the altar is turning yourself around and saying, I will no longer serve this stuff. I will serve the one who lives in the middle of life, who lives at the core of the world, and who lives above in the heavens of the world. He's the one that keeps those million-pound clouds floating over your head, and then he fills them with rain. And lest I not get there, let me encourage you this Christmas season, read Job, the 33rd chapter through about the 40th chapter. If you have a message Bible that can read to you and say it to you, sometimes that's a little easier. Just don't be doing everything else, but just let it bleed into your life. And you're going to see that some of our ideals of Job are not quite so beautiful as they are when you sense some of the statements God sent his way. He chastises him over and again. And there are some things about that. And so I encourage you, not while I'm preaching today, but at some other point, make a note to read and or to at least listen as you're easing around during the house. But every second of each day, 30-mile-an-hour law, speed limit sign. It don't make any difference if it's in a storm or a balmy day. 30 limit, speed limit sign means what it says all day long. How many of you have noticed? I've had my notice affected when I didn't notice intentionally. Sort of like that little guy, you know, his dad's riding down the highway and dad's got his foot in the metal of the pedal, and all of a sudden they see a trooper coming the other way, and the dad don't want to be looking around making the guy aware that he's aware. So he said, son, is he turning around? He said, hold on, I think he may be. And he said, yep, he is. He said, is his light on? He said, on, off, on, off. I've been wakened before by situations in life that are when I don't have perfect peace that passes understanding, when I don't have joy that's joy unspeakable and full of glory, and I'm trying to press the pedal to the metal to hurry up and race to some other event that might at least assuage the problem for a while, I am made to realize the Holy Ghost, on, off, on, off.
Sir, could I pull you over? Could I let your pastor ring a bell in your life? Could you let me ring a new realization? You cannot have joy that's joy unspeakable and full of glory and do part-time what you want to do. It's obey the Lord and reap his benefits, or it's obey yourself part of the time and reap part of yourself again. Every second of every day, the laws are in effect. Both on the earth, running red lights at night can get you in trouble, and running red lights when nobody else you think sees you is not permissible. Not to have the perfect law of liberty. Or you may get by with it for a while, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, but I want to tell you, he never slumbers nor sleeps. And I promise you, he's not trying to find a means to damn you. If he woulda, he had the power to blow those two houses up. If he was trying to destroy you, all he'd have had to done was open the floodgates that are about to be opened on those who choose not to receive his benefits, those who choose not to love him with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's not willing that any should perish. He's beckoned you how many times, sir? How many times have I fallen and he's gotten me up? How many times have I gotten weak-minded and he pulled me in and took me over to his house, to his glory? And he said, you're not going to live over there in the darkness of life and the fear of life. My doors are open and I've always got food on the table. I am the Lord, and I change not. Could anybody praise him from their soul for that kind of God? Oh, I can't even thank him enough for filling my mind with food that can give you something that every mother needs. The joy of that is beyond words to this pastor who lives in a weak frame and who lives in a feeble body. But I have found a glorious house. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. He wants to build you a house just like his. But he won't build it alone. He'll never infringe on your life. If you want to live with darkness and shambles, and if you want to live with weakness and just try to go out and get what you want, he'll let you do that till the end. But all of us are going to face the end. Revelation exposes to us something that's very important, and I'm so sorry the other frame is not working. I'll try to help you to understand. God never slumbers nor sleeps. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Revelation's the 5th chapter, 1 through 14, and you'll have to read it on your own. I'm just going to pull a few things from that. John looks and sees a lamb in the middle of the throne, chapter 5 and verse 6. In Isaiah 53 and 7. Acts 8 and 32 through 33, John 1 and 29, 1 Peter 1, 17 through 19. The lamb looked as if it had been slain. That's chapter 13 in Revelation, verse 8. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes. I've talked to you many times about the many eyes of God. The horns represent the power of Jesus. 1 Samuel 2 and 10, Psalm 75 and 10, Matthew 28 and 18. The eyes represent the omniscience of the Spirit of God. His eyes follow you. And it just amazes me that men, sinful men, men that don't really care, have had something in their cranium and something in their mind for years, and that is to have surveillance systems. Alarms go off if somebody walks up too close to our house. Alarms go off as the world infringes in areas that they're not supposed to be. The radar tells your speed when you don't even want to reveal it. You just wanted to keep it to yourself so your wife didn't tell you, slow down, honey. I've been there. She's not here, so I can talk to her. When our kids see us violate different laws, they decide on their own. They can violate the laws they want to violate. God sees them. The one who ministers glory. The one who ministers grace. The one who champions obedience. Jesus, the baby, the Christmas story. The book says he learned obedience through the things he suffered. That scripture haunts me almost every week because I deal with suffering people. It's painful when you want to bring healing to a city and people don't have time to listen. It hurts when you live in the glory of the sinner house. People on both sides and all around want to kill you because you bring light to their evil deeds. And that's not the purpose. The purpose of the light is to show you what's killing you. The purpose of the beautiful life that he lived was not to make you feel bad, but to bring to you an invitation. Come. Come ye, all of you that are burdened down with care and are heavy laden. You can hardly make it through another week. And the Master says, come. Come unto me. I will give you rest. I will give you hope. I will give you grace. I will give you glory. I'm going to help you build a heart and a mind and a glorious house. And I'm going to use the Christmas story to introduce to you that the baby triumphed. I wish we'd give him a stand in praise, a sacrifice of praise. Why don't you hug somebody close? Let's let this glory fill the house. We're going to leave here today strong in unity of the Spirit. That's it. Honey, I love you. Sir, I love you. Mama, I love you. Visitor, I love you. This church loves you. Thank you. He's applauded. He deserves it. I still can't get over how he forged this into such a weak mind as mine. It's beyond me. Some mother has been praying. Some dad has been trying to travail and touch the hem of his garment. God so loved you, he gave his only begotten son. What you and I don't always realize, his eyes catch every sparrow that falls. He tells you that so we understand without a question. If every sparrow that falls out of the sky, if that's anywhere close to the truth, he saw you last night. He saw you last week. He saw the hit, the frustration that came from the complication. He saw you, seven eyes, seven capacities to receive from earth the hindrance of hell in the lives of those he came to build a house in the middle of, to be a good neighbor. State Farm don't even have a handle on it. They've been my insurance company since I was 16. I still have insurance with them, and I'm getting over 60. I am over 60. But I'm still in my 60s for a few more weeks. He wants you to know. He saw you when nobody else saw you. And that piercing of the world, the actions of the people that you work with, the distancing of situations, he saw it. And he said, if you'll call on me, I put the ears down here on this frame, but I want you to know the Bible said his ears are always attentive to the cry of faith. That's big news. Don't keep it built in. Don't let it erupt into an explosion. I watch people all the time, but try to hold it in, suppress it. Try to hold on to some problem that's so much bigger than them. That's why he said, I give you an altar. Take every need and bring it to the altar. And that's why I'm telling you that it ought not to ever be a shame for the saints of God to find a place at the altar and say, this week I wanted to help my job situation. There's a man, there's a lady, there's a situation that it's bigger than me. Would you open the altar and let me get my heavy load to an altar where God can take it and begin to work with it and develop thoughts and develop spiritual energies that will give you a glow on your face to know that victory is just next door. Let's pray for our neighborhood. God, let this be the last Christmas that they're disappointed. Let this be the last Christmas that they live by themselves. Let this be the last Christmas any of my relatives live without a hope. He gave his only begotten son to purchase your new life in a new world. Can I tell it to you like I received it? He's already got it. All the things to remodel those homes into the home that eventually showed up. He said, I know my thoughts toward you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of people, peace, not evil, for a good hope of a final outcome. You say, Pastor, what was he really saying? He's saying, I'm going to help you. I'm not going to do it for you. I can't. I'll do everything I can for you. And that is, I will get all the thoughts together. I will get all the spirits together. And then I will furnish you at the altar. Anything you come and you want to bring your weak stuff, I'll give you my strong stuff. Your finances are not the big deal. That's just a show. But I want to tell you, bring all your cares unto me. For I am a heavenly Father. And I've got good news. I've got answers for every one of them. We can't do it in a minute. We can't do it in a week. But we can do it in time. And in time, if you're really remodeling your life, when the Son of Man comes, it's going to be just as if you got it all done. Because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to finish the project. And then you're going to fly out with a celestial body that is phenomenally great. There's nothing worth praising more than just that idea. Let 1 Corinthians 15 sink into your soul. The blood I wish somebody would say the middle of that for me. Brother Darren, would you stand up and say it to those that can hear you? Speaketh what? You can't see it. Let me tell it to you.
Better things to come. Better things to come.
Tell them when they're going through a trial.
When going through a trial, there's better things to come.
Tell them when you're going through a heartache.
When you're going through a heartache, there's better things to come.
The blood says it. There are better things to come. You say you're going through it, Mama? There's better things to come, Shirley. There's better things to come, Grandpa. There's better things to come, son. There's better things. I'm telling you, the Antichrist is coming. But there's something better than the Antichrist. The real Christ. Being born again is essential to the building of this. Here's what the Bible said, sir. I hear a lot of people say, when you get the Holy Ghost, you're saved. The Bible says at that point, when you get the Holy Ghost or you're born again, you can see and enter. And that's in John 3:3, John 3:5. He said, till you're born again, you can't see. Verse 5, you can't enter. And I'm sorry that in our rush, we rush right past some of the most important information. But the Holy Ghost is a servant to lead and guide you. Nobody can see me, so it don't make sense to them that you do a whirlybird. It's a whirlybird. Because the Spirit speaketh expressly, but your neighbor's not used to hearing the Spirit. So they don't understand. Lift your hands and really praise the Lord. Loud. There's some people that can't hear you. Loud. Praise the name of the Lord with a loud voice, the Bible said. Loud voice. Oh, thank you for Lisa. Oh, thank you for those ornery kids. Oh, thank you for the house of God. Oh, thank you for the brothers and sisters that count and those who care. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He wants the sinner to hear you shouting. He wants the unbeliever to hear you shouting. Thank you, Jesus. This really is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have hope. Not all about you. It's about your brother and sister that's been worried about you. Has any of you ever been worried about a brother or sister? How does it make you feel when you see them at the house of God lifting up holy hands and starting to praise God? It eases the burden. They're still in touch with life. And they need to see you. Because if they're discouraged, they know you've been going through hell. Hallelujah. They saw the fourth man in the fire. They knew Daniel didn't make it by himself. They understood there's something working in you that is greater than any flesh can produce. Building up. Would you help me a minute? I want you to climb to the top. That's it. Anybody got a stair stepper? You don't build up muscles the first day you do it. I tried it a couple of hours. Finally, you build up your faith where you can voice it. He is a real God. I prayed, nothing happened. I prayed again, nothing happened. I prayed again, nothing happened. But on the seventh or eighth time, there's some question about it. Elijah finally. Halalabahanda. He took another step. He said, I want to tell you, I've been up and down, and I've been down to my knees 7 times that it rained not. And I want to tell you, all of a sudden, that it rained. And all of a sudden, he does a backflip off of that second step. Kyron was worried you was about to try. He said, get down. Go tell the king. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. All he did was felt and experienced a little more of Jesus at that next service than he did the first service. He just kept going to church. He just kept going to the house of God. He just kept going to the altar. He just kept going. And all of a sudden, one day she walks in and says to the kids and the husband, everything's going to be all right. I just saw the cloud the size of a man's hand. It wasn't a big sign. I didn't feel a raindrop. I didn't sense some supernatural thing. All I know is that God just spoke to my heart and our trouble. There's better things coming, sir. There's better things coming, my children. There's better things coming. Hang on to your faith. Don't let it go. The devil would do anything he could to steal your faith that you prayed once and it didn't happen. You prayed twice and it didn't happen. You prayed 3 times and it didn't happen. But one day you finally took the wings of the morning and you jumped off and you said, it's going to happen. The blood says, better things are coming. Most of you met my brother. He wouldn't be embarrassed to tell you how many nights his wife called me. I was still single, crying. 11:15 at night, he didn't show up to pick her up from the job. She said, I hate to ask you again, but would you come get me? I can't find Roger. I'm going to tell you something you never knew about me. I wanted to murder my own brother. That's not a kidding. If you could have been with me. I can't even talk about it without the pain, the memory. But the joy is so great I can talk about it now. I'd sit there at the house. I sat for an hour waiting on him to come home to at least call. No call. Finally, she'd say, I'm all right. I can make it. Thank you so much for coming. And I'd leave her. I'd go home. I'd go to bed. But rest wouldn't come. I fought devils. In the night, I saw my brother murdered. I saw my brother in imaginations shot. I saw my brother in imaginations murdered with a knife. I cannot tell you the nights that I spent taking Charlotte home as a 19-year-old boy and then coming home to fight devils all night long. I can preach because I know him. I said I can preach because I know him. He is the satisfaction of life. He is the passion and the power and the source of all energy that your pastor has. I have nothing that rivals the house in the middle. He so loved the world that he came and he said, son, I'm going to help you build a house just like my house. I'm going to put lights and I'm going to put tapestries. I'm going to put victory all over it. Men try to do it with substitute ornate things of this world, but I promise you it can't happen. The river starts in it. Inside here. The river starts inside here. The river starts inside here. You can't buy them enough stuff. You can't give them enough of this earth to satisfy them. You can't take them to enough places to satisfy what they need. The altar. The altar in the altar. Just to inform you of February, maybe January, I'm trying to get God to back it up. But how many of you have ever heard of Tom Baudet? Leave the lights on.
You heard of him, hey?
Motel 6, have you ever seen a Motel 6 sign? We'll leave the light on for you. God's got a whole message on that. He's already given it to me. You're going to love it. You don't want to miss one service point now when that happens. Informed people are what? He said the lack of knowledge leaves a bunch of people in confinement. He actually says it so explicitly. He said, my people, the ones I died for, the ones who I moved into the middle of their subdivision for, the ones who I moved into the big world where they really live. I built a house right in the middle of them. I built it from the flesh as a baby up to a mature, teaching son of God. And yet for all of this, when I showed them the storm that this house could handle, the beatings of man, the hatred of man, the unkind remarks of men, I showed them the storm, and I showed them how bad the storm's gonna be. And I'm trying to tell them, build your kids a house, build your wife a house, that when all of the Antichrist is turned loose, you got a house that is steadfast and sure and will stand against all evil and everything. Not about joining a church. It's about getting God to help you build a heart. It's about God helping you build a brain. It's about God helping you build a spirit.
Hallelujah.
That discouragement can't rob you of your future. That letdowns in life, broken hearts are healed by this vision. Blood speaketh better things. Informed people are empowered people. Now, if you'll notice, I got the eye up here and the ear up here, because the Bible says his ear is always open. Whisper something about your wife to me. Don't look at her. Just come whisper it to me. Come to the altar and whisper how much you love her. Don't let her hear it before you let me hear it. Hey, they ain't even been married 5 years yet. Whew. Someday I hope he tells you those two things. He wanted to tell me another, but I wouldn't let him. He said she's pretty. And she loves God. Someday he said, I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. Every prayer you prayed in secret, I'm going to reward you openly. I'm going to let the world know what kind of victory I have established in your neighborhood. This thing is still too big for me. His ear, the Bible said, is never heavy that it cannot hear. So, I've just burdened him down with so many things, all the past. Now I got my future, and I just hate to burden him. I promise you, you don't have a burden that's going to cause his hand to sag in the least. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I don't know. Somebody ought to say that's pretty enormous. Above all that you can ask. I can ask quite a bit. But he said if you ask amiss, I'll just shove it to the side. Because what I'm here to help you do is build one house. Not a house for the world and a house for heaven. I'm here to build you a house for heaven. One that will get right through the graveyard just as slick as butter. Hakandayala. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'm going to untie you from everything you ever did. And you're never going to have to be accountable unless you go do it again. And then you drag all the rest of them back up current with the one you just did. But he said, if you do that, and all you got to do is see the picture of the Old Testament. Backslidden Israel. Over and over and over and over and over. Built a cow to worship. Because a cow helped them one time carry a load through the wilderness. And they said, well, forget that God. We'll build our own God. I'll build a God out of my car. I built me a nice car. Your car can't get you out of what I'm talking about. Your house can't get you out of what I'm talking about. Your bank account can't get you out of what I'm talking about. The blood speaketh better things. The blood speaketh better things. The blood speaketh better things. Preacher, preach the blood. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been a faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. He which had received the one talent, somebody say one talent, came and said, Lord, I want you to catch those next three words. I knew thee. I went to church. I went to prayer meetings. I read the Bible. I knew thee. That thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was overcome with fear. And I'm going to introduce to you the idea and the realization that the reason more people are not living in more of that rich atmosphere, they're afraid. I've tried to share with you over and again that faith and fear are at opposite ends of the spectrum. Faith looks at a lion's den and says, look, God made the lions, God made me. If it's my turn to go, I'll be gone shortly. But if it's not my turn to go, Mr. Lion, you fixing to be shown for what you really are. A dead lion. Helpless. The fiery furnace. Somebody tell me. Years ago, back when I started preaching, I just couldn't get it. They said, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace, you Hebrew boys. They said, we will not bow. So listen to their next statement. We'll heat the furnace seven times hotter. Now you tell me what's the difference in one hot and seven times hot. I don't think I could enjoy either. So what is the difference? Somebody say pressure. Pressure to be like the people in this earth. Pressure to give in to what is creating a synthetic or false excitement in the world. I promise you that cars are not going to save you in the day of the Antichrist. I promise you that a good-looking physique is not going to save you in the day of the Antichrist. I promise you, the blood speaketh better things. I promise it's not wrong to have a nice looking physique. I'm looking for one myself. You can see why, can't you? Smart boy. Not going to let the whole church get down on him. I'm doing a few things, exercise, try to get this middle section slider. I'm not against that. Not against having a nice car. You know I like having powered cars. I'm not against having stuff. That's not what God's against. He's against you putting your trust in that stuff to make this world habitable. You making a God or getting your excitement from something that has less value than He has. Boy, I'm so excited. We're going to build this. We're going to get that. We got to go to church, honey. I'm going to hear from heaven tonight. I'm going to hear from Jesus tonight. All that stuff I've been reading, God's going to help me put some organization to it. And I'm going to get some structure that I'm going to build a house just like His. I'm going to have a house that the storm can't dissolve. I'm going to have a house that the Anchorage, Alaskan earthquake can't shake. My faith can't be shaken. I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against the day of the Lord. I am His. He is mine. And Him only. Him only will I serve. Can we just talk to the Lord for a minute? Just whisper. I'm not interested in anybody hearing the secrets between you and Jesus right now. Make a new commitment of prayer. Not, God, I want you to come build the rest of my house for me. A prayer that says, God, I'm willing to listen to your instructions so I can build this house to be just like yours. Because they that are willing and obedient shall have the best house. Let's look just a little further. We have a few more minutes here, maybe. His Lord answered and said unto him, I wish somebody would read that. You wicked, slothful. I can't imagine Jesus coming to you and saying that to you. You wicked, slothful. You sat on that bench year after year, and I tried my best to tell you I will be the government. Isaiah the 53rd chapter. Isaiah 9 and 6. I'm sorry, I got them mixed up. Isaiah 53 is where he died. Isaiah 9 and 6. He said, and unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. I'm going to give you his life history. From the day he was born, he wasn't born of woman by itself. He was born of a heavenly father to an earthly mother. In him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, every spirit, every answer, everything about the future was in him. And that's why it's in the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that the God is the Lord of hosts to the glory of God the Spirit. I'm here to tell you there's only one body, but there are an untold amount of spirits. All the nine spirits of the book in the spirits, gifts of the Spirit, and all of the spirits of love and peace and joy and righteousness and understanding, all of those spirits are available through the name of Jesus. Therefore, when you pray, humble yourselves before God and say, my Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I praise the name of Jesus. I bow to the name of Jesus. I don't bow to preachers. I bow to the word they preach. I bow to the name they preach. I bow to the blood they preach. I bow. Can't imagine. You're not as old as him, are you? Brother Marty, you're not as old as him, are you? What are you, 80? 60? 50? I can't imagine all the sermons you've heard. All the instructions he's given you to how to build a house like his. And you say, well, you know what? I choose the way this house was built. His house is nice, but I'm just going to put the name of Jesus on what I build. The blood speaketh better things. The blood speaketh better things. The style of house is not the big deal. unless you understand what he says in Acts 4 and 12. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You got to measure all of your building according to his cornerstone. He is the righteous judge of all the ages. That's the cornerstone. He is holy and he alone is holy. That's the cornerstone. You build everything you do from the cornerstone and you'll have a house just like his. You'll have the dimensions and you'll have the angels and you'll have the truths that hold the roof together. When the day of the Antichrist and hell turns its worst loose, you're saved. Your kids are going to be with you. Hallelujah. Your granddaughter, your daughter-in-law is going to be with you. Your wife's going to be with you. Come on, kids. We're in the house that the Lord built. This is the house. This is the temple. This one right here. He built us a holy nation, a righteous priesthood. You think you'll do any shouting that day? Take a lap right now, Ron. Y'all give him a little room. He's a shouter. Give him a little room between that bench. He's fixing to show you what he's going to do when the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And guess who's going to join him? I'll tell you what, my pastor is going to join him. My pastor, I'm telling you, the saints of God are going to join him because we all had a hand in each other's life. You're my brother, you're my sister, and we're helping one another. Let's stand. Thank y'all. All those people that try to sell you a seat in the cheap seats, just take them to this scripture and show them you ought to have put your money in the hands of somebody that when I came, you would have benefited. I didn't require much. To whom much is given is much required. Only gave you one talent. You weren't born in the church. You just had one talent. Take a penny out. You don't have any pennies? A mint first for the pastor? Thank you. My breath must stink. Thank you. He always gives me a mint, so I'm just having a little fun right here. Take a penny out. I got a load of them. Just waiting on the tithes to come in. How do you multiply that? I'll tell you who you... They're right there in the green shirt. He can take that, and I guarantee you by next service, he can have you two of them. He said you ought to give it to somebody that knows what to do with money. Or you ought to give your life to a preacher that knows what to do with a life. Because he said, I promise you one thing. I've written it down. If you don't turn, you say, well, Brother Meyer, I'm not like so-and-so. And I'm not. You're not trying to be like them. You're just trying to turn your life, your house, over to Jesus. So he can build you a house that's got lights. He said, I am the light of the world. But I'm going to make you a light. And I'm going to hold you accountable. For showing that lady, you said, in sickness or in health, in riches or poverty, I will be a strong horn. Lean on him. Don't you give way. Tell her the blood speaketh better things. This altar's open. There is a day of judgment coming. We'll find out more about it in the week to come. But surely, some of you that have been given some heavy loads would like to put them at the altar today. And you don't have to come to the front. It's just it's a nice sign to God. I'm willing to show anybody that I need help. I want the pastor to know that I surrender everything. Let's pray together. Offer your petitions, your sacrifice of praise to him. Let me tell you, I don't care what you brought into this house. God doesn't care what your house looked like when you got here. But if he turned the light on And he showed you what he wants to make out of it. Honor him enough at least to tell him, I want that house. I want a house with lights. I don't want a house that's tarnished by the past. I don't want a house that's been beat up by the past. I may have missed it greatly, but I want my family to know I am his. Oh, that's it. Play it. All over this building, would you pray one for another? If you have a husband or a wife close to you, please pray for them. If you have kids in your family, join your hands and pray for that kid or those kids. If you have a need, he said, bring it to me. First of all, praise my name, and then make your petition known, and I will understand that you understand. I am the Lord, and I change not. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I got wonderful news for you. You don't have to live much longer in fear. Faith is about to take its roots in your life. You're about to get a whole new grip on this whole thing called living.